I'm Vic Cohen, and it's a fair question. It's a fair question. It's a fair question. I'm Vic Cohen, and it's a fair question. It's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair question. I'm Vic Cohen, and it's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair question. Hello, I'm Vic Cohen, where it is always a fair question. That's right, when you're with Vic Cohen, it's always a fair question. Wherever I go, it's a fair question. And tonight, well, we've got quite a guest. He's a new friend. I have made a newer friend. I say newer friend.
Right.
And I like this guy. Like, I almost feel like there could be perhaps a mini bromance going on. And mm-hmm. I don't want to be mm-hmm. presumptuous.
Presume
away.
That. You can
but,
presume.
But to tell you all a little bit about this guy, we met on a show called The Chase.
Mm-hmm.
GSN, it's a game show network. They're huge hit.
Yes.
Actually, you know, I don't know if you know this guest, but I was nominated for an Emmy.
I did know
for
that.
For my work on the show.
Did you go to the ceremony?
I went to the party before. I'll tell you more about that in a minute because it's
right.
actually really fun.
All right.
Our guest here, he is the warm-up guy. In fact, I was going to ask you if you could warm me up. I'm a little cold. It's a little nippy out, and I was just outside.
I don't do one-on-one, Vic.
No? Okay.
Actually, I totally do.
Yo, boy. Now, a few more little tidbits about this man.
Mm-hmm.
He's classically trained in improv. I don't know if that's just an oxymoron, but he is.
Yeah.
You are.
I am.
Second City in Chicago, the theater center, Second City Theater there, Improv Olympic, the Annoyance Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And he's worked along.
Notice Improv Olympic, your old style. Now it's I.O.
Oh, sorry.
I think the Olympics sued them.
Really?
Really.
Oh, well, we'll have to talk about that too. Not. No, I'm just kidding. That might be a little too esoteric for our listeners, but I'm interested. Maybe
right.
we will hit that.
Right.
I did not know that.
I don't know if I have much more information to give on that subject.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, let me tell you who I'm talking to
all
here.
Awesome.
I know you're all just on the edge of your seats. His name is, are you ready? Joe Kaplan, comedian Joe Kaplan. Very funny and very talented and just a really good guy. He's got, there's a Yiddish word for you. Well, there's several, but there's only one I could say on the radio.
All right.
No, Chemish.
What is that?
Chemish. It's like.
I've never heard of that word.
With the last name Kaplan, you should know that word. Chemish. It means like good soul. Chemish. You're Chemish.
Well,
that's at least how you come off.
See, I wasn't classically trained in the Jewish world. Growing up in Springfield, Illinois, there's not a lot of temples.
No, but with the last name Kaplan. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm assuming too much.
I should know more.
And you spell it the right way, the Jewish
mm-hmm.
way. With
oh,
the
yeah.
kid. So is that your stage name, Joe Kaplan?
No, but you know, when I joined SAG, I was like, oh, I would love it. If your name's taken, you have to come up with another one.
Right.
But my name was not taken.
Okay. Now, you are married with two children.
Yes.
And
yes.
one of your daughters has a name that I've decided that if I were a woman or mm-hmm. if I ever have a sex change,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to want.
Wow. Let me guess which one. Okay, hold on a second.
You have two.
Yes, I have two, so I have to pick one. Is Zoe
yeah.
or Lily?
Right.
I'm going to say it's Lily.
Zoe.
Damn it.
Yeah, I would be a Zoe. I've decided.
Here's how we pick that name. Everyone, you know, because you're in the Jewish religion, you're supposed to name
you
it after.
You got to kill someone, right?
What?
You got to kill someone, so use that name.
That's part of the deal.
Because it's
you
true.
Have
you
go
have to
go find someone, you kill that person, and then you name them after.
Well, it is true in the Ashkenazi part of Judaism. There's two types, really, I guess. There's the Sephardic. Usually they're mm-hmm. from the Mediterranean.
Right.
More typically darker skinned.
Right.
Persian, often. And then you have your Ashkenazi, more European.
Which is Russian and Lithuanian and all that.
Right.
Yes.
So go on.
And that's where we're at. So,
and welcome to Judaism 101.
Right,
I'm Rabbi
exactly.
Cohen.
So you're supposed to name a kid after a dead relative.
That's the Ashkenazi tradition.
Correct.
Yes.
And
the European Russian tradition.
So we're building a house in Chicago. And we have a rental apartment waiting for it to be done. It's like the crappiest rental apartment you could have. And I'm in the tub reading from the baby name book.
Nice. And that's where the baby was actually conceived. So
actually,
how appropriate.
Not far off. And
full circle.
And my wife is way pregnant, way hormonal. And I'm just calling out names. She's like, no. Finally, I'm like, Zoe. She doesn't
respond. Is she in the tub with you?
No, it's not that big of a tub.
Okay, because she was very pregnant.
And I'm not that small myself. And so,
we're going to get to that.
All right. Great. I'm looking forward to that part of the show.
I know. So obnoxious.
And so I call her Zoe, Yeah. And she doesn't answer. I'm like, how about Zoe? She didn't answer. And I said, I about to say it again. I'm like, how about Zoe? She's like, I'm thinking about it. She was quite hormonal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And that's how we picked her name.
Well, it's a great name. I love it. It's sophisticated. It's the kind of woman I would be if I were to be. Playful and fun, different, but
Zoe Cohen flows.
Yeah. Well, don't try and fix us up. Because that would be creepy.
No, I have no intentions. You're
I don't know. You take her name and mine, I start getting weird feelings. By the way, if you would like to call, we sometimes take calls here. We do, Joe. I don't know if you know that.
I did not know that. We are live. Is that correct?
We are live.
Broadcasting out to the World Wide Web.
Yes. 800-893-9562 is the number if you feel like saying hi. 800-893-9562.
Call us up.
So tomorrow is Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And I want to thank you, first of all, for coming here at all. Secondly, I want to thank you for paying for your own parking.
Yeah.
Usually I foot the bill for our guests.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
What did I do? I immediately invited you back for a second time.
So you get me whether you like it or not.
So tomorrow's Thanksgiving.
Well, I'm like, why should you pay? I mean,
that's great.
It's kind of fun if I'm on a gig, you know.
I totally appreciate it.
No one's going to break into my minivan anyway, so I'm not worried about it. Although tonight's a special night.
Well, tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and so, like, did your wife, was she upset with you leaving?
No.
I mean, it is late here. We're doing this at 10 p.m., so.
No, this is par for the course, you know, being involved in many a late night theater and whatnot. You know, you're always leaving the middle of the night. You're like, I gotta go.
Well, tomorrow is
Plus, I have several mistresses, so you never know when you want to. Mistresses. I can't even
is that right? Are you being serious or not?
No. Okay. I'm not. No.
It's a fair question.
It is.
I don't know. People get real honest here.
No.
Have you ever cheated on your wife?
No.
It is such a fair question.
It is fair.
You're on the road a lot, I bet.
Not that much. No. A little bit. Not much. It used to be a long time ago.
So you've never, how long have you been married?
19 years.
And
I'm going to applaud that myself.
I don't know if that's good or bad. I mean, it sounds good.
It's been
good,
awesome. Four of them have been great.
Oh, that's great. 4 minutes.
Yes.
So you've been married 19 years.
19 years.
Wow.
And so we met.
That is a long time.
We met at taking improv class.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the Players Workshop of Second City, which is like the.
It's the school part.
Yeah. It's like one. It's like a. Yeah, something like that. Yes. and it just kind of went from there.
So, like, one of the rules of improv, the basis, the foundation is yes and.
Yes.
Whatever someone says, you'd never want to say no.
Right.
Because it just leads to not funny.
Right.
But if you say yes and, that's rule number one.
You can go somewhere.
So
that's
you
right.
said, would you like to marry me in an improv class? And she had no choice but to say yes.
Well,
yes, and I'm revolted.
Right.
But she did say yes.
And as soon as she said, I do, that yes and shit went out the window. That's gone. It doesn't exist anymore.
So she was an actress 19 years ago.
She was not as much of an actress as much as she was an agent.
Sleeping with your agent.
Yes, I was sleeping with my
agent. An insurance agent or theatrical?
Theatrical.
In
she
Chicago.
Worked for Suzanne's A+, if you remember that agency.
I do not.
Which is a horrible name. And
it's
odd. They even spoofed it on 30 Rock one time.
Oh, that's
where, like,
funny.
They show like an old audition tape of hers, and she's like, "I'm here with Suzanne's B+."
When you're talking about Tina Fey,
yes,
okay. When you said her, it wasn't your wife's audition tape; it was
Tina
Fey's.
No, it was Tina Fey's audition tape.
Okay, well let's go back a little.
All right, bring it back.
But before
let's step it back,
actually, before I do that, I want everyone to know I said you're a warm up guy,
right?
And to a lot of people don't know what that means. I do, but tell everyone. Tell all. Listen up, guys. This is what a warm-up guy does. He's going to tell you.
So when a show has a live studio audience, they bring in a comic like myself, and we come in.
There's no one like you, Joe. Go on.
And we come in and we warm up. We get the crowd laughing and in the mood and warm up the audience. So when the taping goes, the audience is ready to respond and clap the way we want them to. And then I just play games, entertain in between segment breaks, and lots of fun music and all that kind of stuff, and basically just keep the audience warm, as they would say.
Now, looking at your resume, there are a lot of warm-up jobs you've done over the
years. I've done tons of.
So now, how does one become a warm-up guy, and what's the end goal there?
Well, that's the thing about it. There's not a whole lot of. Let's back that up. So okay. I was working at a talk show in Chicago called the Bertie's Berry Show.
Okay, I kind of remember that show.
Yeah.
Now, is this when all those shows, like Jenny Jones, Springer, all those shows were in Chicago? Springer has since gone to Connecticut. Jenny Jones is long gone, not produced anymore.
Right. They still make Springer? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they do in Connecticut.
Interesting.
Yeah, they moved a lot into Connecticut.
Yeah, Oprah's gone.
Yes. Well, she's alive. She's on this planet, but...
I don't know.
Show's gone. Yeah. So it was around that time.
Yeah, Steve Harvey's there now. And matter of fact, he's in the old Jenny Johnson.
And he's pretty much what's left of talk.
That is right.
In Chicago.
So I was a PA on the Bertice Berry show.
And that's a production assistant. And a production assistant usually is the guy who's the first one in, last one out, or lady.
Correct.
It's an entry-level job.
It's an entry-level
job. You do everything from driving talent to getting coffee to cleaning garbage cans, whatever.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And they're going to fire their warm-up guy. And
why?
I don't think he was funny.
That will do it.
So he wasn't doing the gig very well. And in his defense, I think he was just, I think he was the makeup guy. And they're like, hey, go out there and get him going. I'm funny, whatever. So,
well, some shows there's a lack of respect for the warm-up guy.
There is. You know? I've worked a couple of those shows, and it is not fun.
No.
Which was wonderful about The Chase is there's great respect.
And again, The Chase is where you and I met.
That's right.
The GSN hit show.
Right. I'm in this meeting where they talk about firing the warm-up guy. There's the audience producer wants to bring in someone from California and fly them out, and their rate was really expensive, and the producer's kind of balking, and I'm like, I study a Second City. And they're like, okay, great. Next day I had a microphone. And and it was that easy. And just trial by fire.
Now,
and so I ended up doing like 200 episodes.
Wow. And so were you still doing the PA work?
Kind of, yes. They moved me to an audience coordinator, which is someone who deals and books the audience and that kind of stuff, and doing the warm-up. So it was
part
of my job.
Were you being paid as a PA still?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
So they were getting a deal.
Oh, yeah.
And you were just happy to be there.
I'm just happy to be there.
And who wouldn't be?
It was like $4.50 a week.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's just you're starting out.
Yes.
Right? Well, you were 48? Oh, but you're
out there.
Yeah.
I was in my early 20s, actually.
It's like, you know, you just want to get in there.
In fact, I turned 27 on that show.
I think that's great. So you took that job, and then that led to more of that?
That led to more of that. So, you know, just kept kind of going. And you get a little rep for yourself, and next thing you know, people are calling you.
I have an idea. You know, I've done a little bit of warm up myself, so I've had some of that experience. I'm just curious, though.
What did you warm up?
Well, I'll tell you in just a moment. We'll put a pin in that.
I keep jumping forward.
We will talk about that. But what I wanted to know from you is, being that you do improv and you do stand up, what is the difference between the type of comedy you do as a warm up?
Oh, it's totally different. Because warm up is more cheerleader. Warm up is. I'm not there to like get laughs with jokes and that kind of stuff as much as get people up and going, get them to have fun. And with warm up, like when I'm doing, you know, especially stand up, you know, you're up there working your butt off to get, you know, get your laughs. So you know that,
yeah.
You know, and you're trying whatever you can to get laughs. And I'm definitely getting laughs when I'm doing warm up, but it's more cheerleading. I'm like, you know, remember the campfire when you were in camp?
Yeah,
and the rowdy counselor would come out and get everybody going. That's what my gig is.
Right.
When I'm doing warm up. And that's what you do. And so.
So the goal isn't to be funny as much as it is to be their friend and entertaining.
Right. You know, my whole goal is to get everybody on my side. Like literally when people are walking in, I'll walk around the audience, introduce myself to people. And that's something I think I do that a lot of other people don't. And just, you know, just get everybody on your side. And so, because taping can run really long.
Right.
Really long. They could be an all-day thing. And people get tired and they get bored. And so, and I don't have 8 hours of material. And so, you know, if I can get somebody to jump up and dance, you know, to something and you know, whatever I can find out there to help them entertain themselves, that's what I'm trying to do.
What role does candy play in your job?
I you break that out when you're at your wit's end. You're like,
really?
I got nothing left. Let's break out some sugar. Here, have some sugar. And that always tends to make people happy.
Right.
People love getting free stuff. And people will kill themselves for a t-shirt.
But isn't there a strategy to this, even from the producing side, where you will have a producer, an EP. EP stands for executive producer, usually the one who runs the show. They usually say, hey, Joe, the audience is dead. You know, we need to get, let's give them some sugar.
Absolutely.
Sure. I mean, literally, you'll hear those words.
Yeah. Not necessarily sugar as much as like, their audience is dead, do something. And that's just a technique.
But has anyone ever said, don't give them sugar?
No, I've never had that. Although I had a sound guy just recently for the first time. the sound people were like, there's too much noise with the rappers. You can't give out candy. I'm like, uh-huh. And I just kept doing
it. Yeah, did. That's interesting. Never heard of that.
I never heard of that either. I'm like, you got
to
be kidding.
So to answer your question, one of the first shows I did, I just filled in. It wasn't like a day-to-day thing, but it was a show called Winning Lines. And the fun part of that job was I got to introduce Dick Clark to the audience.
Oh, that's cool.
And, you know, he's a legend in game shows, so that was very cool because that's one of the jobs that the warm-up guy has is he's or she will say, and ladies and gentlemen, here's the host of our show.
Right.
You know, getting them all riled up. And so in this case, it was, you know, the host of our show, the legendary Dick Clark. And then I handed him the mic because that was the mic that he would be talking to everyone with. And it was just a cool moment. He was executive producer of that show. And then the other one, it was kind of like your situation with Bertice Berry. Mm-hmm. Is that right? It was the Sharon Osbourne show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was doing some producing writing on that show, and they needed some help with warm-up. And it was really funny because Sharon came out the day I was doing it. She walked out and slipped.
Oh,
and
wow.
Fell on her ass.
Wow.
Did she hurt herself? You could totally see, like, up her skirt. I think she even, like, ripped her underwear or whatever it was. And so
did you see a little
so
bit?
I did a joke. I said, like, you know, those people who came here said they saw Sharon Osbourne. I mean, you really saw Sharon Osbourne.
How'd she take that?
Not well.
Mm. was like, that your last day doing warm-up?
It was actually, it might have been. She gave me a look like it was not funny to her.
See,
but it was great. It was a funny in the moment.
On,
you
got to
be in the
Osbourne.
Moment.
You
got
to lighten
up.
You're married to that guy who snorted ants.
So, did he?
That's what I've heard.
Well, you know what? I didn't take it personally, and maybe I misread her dirty look.
How was it working on that show? Did you like it?
You know, let's talk about other things. anytime I work, I'm
That's not a fair question?
It's a fair question. You know what? Anytime I have the chance to work, I'm grateful.
There you go.
Honestly, it is so hard to get work, and I feel so lucky that I get to work regularly. So I would never bash the show or any show.
Right.
It had its certain challenges, but then again, it was a startup. And for those of you who don't know what a startup is, startup meaning the show had never been on the air. And they were still finding their voice. And it's amazing when you're behind the scenes to see how much of a show is still being figured out once it's even on the air. And it's a painful process, regardless of the show. So, you know, that's what was going
on.
And
even shows have been on the air for a while are still evolving quite a bit.
Right. But particularly early on.
Absolutely.
But it was a great experience in many ways. And I'll tell you what was the best experience of working on that show was Sharon was very generous. And for Christmas, she had a holiday dinner. And she had it at Morton's on La Cienega.
There you go.
And rented out the back party room and had every staffer. So there must have been 150 people.
Round That's awesome.
Tables. And not a preset menu. She said, order whatever you want.
Wow.
And they gave us a wine menu. Wow. I mean, those bottles of wine are crazy. I would never order a bottle of wine, like, you know, $200 bottle of wine.
Oh, you're better than me. I'd totally order
No, but how generous is that?
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Plus, take it to a steak place. Did you get steak at least?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I ordered regular. You know, I didn't go berserk, but I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. And Ozzy was there.
Really?
And yeah.
No, it was the Sharon Osbourne show or the Osbourne show?
No, it was called Sharon Osbourne. It was her talk show.
Okay. All right.
And I was just kidding about, can we move on? It was actually, there were many things about it that were a great experience. It's just, you know, the show got canceled.
Did you talk to Ozzy?
No. No. I mean, he wasn't in my hemisphere or, you know, much.
Right.
You know, in my world on that show.
Right.
I was more
at the party you didn't talk to.
No. No. So I'm looking at your list, though, of shows that you've warmed up. And it's particularly the talk shows, Fran Drescher, Megan Mullally, and Danny Bonducci.
Yes.
From, we all know him from the Partridge Family. And
Correct.
Also from, he had a reality show called Breaking
Bonaducci. And it was
which was
awesome.
Crazy. I loved that show.
It was one of my favorite reality shows ever.
Oh, yeah. If you ever
have
a chance.
And the Paul Abdul reality show. Did you ever see that?
No. If you guys ever have
Brilliant.
A chance to see like a crazy reality show, you've got to watch Breaking Bonaducci because this guy is doing like hardcore drugs with cameras rolling. And not that I'm an advocate of that because I'm not, but it is crazy.
But it is brutally honest. Like,
it's brutally honest.
It's the only reality show that you watch. You're like, wow, he is not playing.
Right. And I know a guy who was one of the EPs on that. And I remember, we'll talk about it. It's not that interesting to those who haven't seen the show.
No, but it's totally, my favorite story from that is he gets angry about something. He takes a skateboard, skates down to to a liquor store, gets like a bottle of cranberry juice and a bottle of vodka and mixes them somehow and just slams it.
It's sad because the guy is actually really talented.
Yeah, I think he's pretty talented. I liked him a lot. He did not like me at first. And then when I was doing his warm-up, and before I got hired, I had a previous commitment, so I had to go away for like 4 shows, something like that. And the guy they hired to replace me, who was supposed to be good, was not. Mm-hmm. And when I came back, he was coming off stage after I introduced him, and he says hello, and he's good. And there just happened to be, it was a Disney show, and there happened to be a ton of Disney
execs. Was it a talk show?
Mm-hmm.
He did a Disney show, a guy who was shooting heroin?
Disney, this is definitely before Breaking Bonaducci. And he came off stage and he stops. I'm not kidding, there's like 6 or 7 execs and EPs and he stops and turns to me like, dude, I'm so glad you're back.
That's how he talks. And by the way, I do need to fix something here. I think I said shooting heroin. I don't want him to sue me.
No, he might need the money.
Let's just say, like, I'll take that back. I don't know if I thought he was doing some type of drug, but
right. I mean, I understand what you're saying.
You know what? He's a Boy Scout. Never mind.
Exactly.
Let me take all that back. But the one thing I realized when I was looking at these shows is they have one thing in common besides you. They've all been canceled.
Oh yeah. Now, well, I mean, what show hasn't been canceled?
Hey, listen. Don't shoot the messenger. Okay. Easy.
I mean, unless you work at Gunsmoke, I mean, you know, it's only like 4 or 5 years at tops.
But, I mean, okay, like Fran Drescher.
Fran Drescher was only 15 episodes.
Exactly. But the Gunsmoke thing just got old.
Yeah, Gunsmoke, that would have been a nice show.
Megan Mullally. That
was gone after half season. Maybe I am the bad luck charm.
No, no.
Is that what you're saying?
No, I totally could be. Actually, no, because, of, again, The Chase.
Mm-hmm. That's kicking butt.
Big hit.
I totally think I'm a major part of that.
So now, let's talk about what kind of money you can make as a warm-up guy.
I'll talk about that.
No. This is called Vic Cohen's It's a Fair Question, which means ask questions that people listening, all of you, are curious about. You don't have to tell me exactly what you make. But mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. It's an after a show, right?
I mean, right.
You only...
It's SAG after a show.
A lot of people don't realize that, which means that Joe here... It's considered an acting job, even though he's not seen on camera. He's treated by the same rules as the union.
Right. It's called an off-camera performer, which just sounds like an oxymoron, but it's not.
Can you make
the audience warm guy has one of the hardest jobs on set. It really does.
Why?
Because you're working your butt off, you know, and you're dealing with everyone else. Like, this is where they culminate to, and that's where I start. That's where I start my day.
Here's why, Joe, here's the answer you need to give in the next time this question's asked. I'm going to help you.
All right. Come on, bring it on.
The reason that...
Am I not doing this right? I'm totally not doing this right at all.
Here's the answer you need to give.
Is that a fair question? All right.
Your answer was fine and just perfect. My experience is, observation would be, like many jobs, it's like if you do it right, you just did it.
Right.
You won't hear a lot of praise with your job.
Correct.
Unless you screw it up.
Correct.
But no one's going to say...
Unless you're on-camera talent, then you get praise all day long.
Right. But when you're doing... No. That's what I'm saying. With warm-up, like a lot, like even the people who are behind the scenes getting the audience, like they're very rarely going to get credit for filling the seats.
Correct.
But they will get attention if the seats aren't full.
Right.
Or if the people are not what the producers are looking for.
That's exactly right.
So that's where it kind of becomes a thankless job.
Yeah,
and also...
However, you know what? You do get thanked quite a bit. Because here's the interesting thing. Because I have a mic. And so the whole studio knows me. I actually introduce myself on mic. And what's kind of weird, when you start a new show, everybody knows you because you're talking on the mic all day and you have a very visible position. But I don't know anybody else. And so it's kind of weird because people are like, Joe. And you're like, hey, you, how are you?
Crew. Everyone knows you because they've been listening to you on the floor.
Right. Correct. Okay.
Now, if you were to do stand-up on a regular basis, warm-up on a regular basis, can you make over $100,000?
Oh yeah, easily, and especially like I don't do prime sitcoms. Sitcom guys make a buttload.
Do they make more money per episode?
Absolutely.
So like a game show warm up guy is going to get paid less per day than a sitcom warm up guy?
Absolutely. Sitcom guys make.
What do they make?
Anywhere from like $2,000 to like $45,000.
You're talking scale. Like another
no,
words.
Not scale. It's way above scale, but it's just the rate.
Okay,
I've came this close to getting sitcoms a couple of times, but I never got a sitcom.
So, just for all of you to be clear, scale means that the actors negotiated certain rates with the studios who are producing the shows.
Right.
And if they are a quote-unquote union show, they must pay that predetermined minimum,
right,
i.e. scale.
Right.
So the scale could...
The scale's still decent.
Yeah, and you also qualify after a certain amount of earning for health insurance.
Correct.
With a very low premium or reasonable premium compared, right, to normal premiums.
Blue Cross.
So is this
interesting? This is interesting, my salary? Yes, that's interesting, I guess. Go ahead.
People are curious. I know that Cheyenne, were you interested in that? Yeah? She's like, what? Cheyenne, she's listening in there, and we'll ask her. Cheyenne, yes. Were you listening to any of that?
Yes.
How's your word with friend game? What's that show? Word with friends, or what's that game?
Candy Crush.
I hate that game.
Okay, but have you been listening to
about sitcoms. They make way more money.
Do you find that interesting, what he makes or what he could be making?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Bye. There we go.
So that's
Cheyenne, everyone. Great work.
And so
thank you.
How warm of
producing
voice
our show back there.
Hey, Cheyenne, give it up for her.
Yeah, go on. Mm-hmm. What?
So the way it works is you get paid per episode, and game show will shoot several episodes a day, sometimes up to 6 episodes a day. And so when you add it up, it ends up being a nice fair day.
Wait, so I didn't realize this. So like if some game shows, they're crazy game shows, like where they've got a crazy schedule, they might shoot 5 episodes in a day.
Oh, yeah.
So you're telling me that if, let's say, the minimum, and I'm making up a number, but
sure,
it's at least a grand. It's got to be. Let's just say it's at least a grand an episode on a game show. That's $5,000 in a day.
Yeah, split in half. Yeah.
Okay. Even if it's $500, you can make $2,500 in a day, mm-hmm, and they're doing a lot of these.
Yeah.
Now, what about like a Wheel of Fortune? Does it matter if it's a game show that's on a network versus a cable?
I would think so.
Okay.
But most of the stuff I do is smaller stuff.
Do you have an agent that gets you warm-up work?
No, it's just all word of mouth. I have an agent, but that's more for on camera.
But you don't give them anything, your warm-up work?
No. Okay. Unless they found something, but it's just word of mouth. I just know EPs, and they just hire you.
Okay, now you have mentioned that you got your first warm up job back.
Did you get paid extra when you did Sharon Osbourne's?
No.
They're just like, hey Vic, come here. No, hold this mic. Go out there.
I only did it a few times, and then no, there was no extra money.
See, that's
I wasn't
horrible.
Looking for it. I was just happy to be there, and you know what? It was different. It was a long time ago.
And here's the thing: like, it's not the most glamorous of performance positions, but it pays well. And you know what? Someone's paying me to go out there and entertain. And I'm like, I'll dig it.
Yeah, it's a great form. What was funny is when I did my first one, the Winning Lines thing, I wasn't so aware of how different it is than stand-up. And I was doing my act.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, it was bombing.
It was a sinker,
no
wasn't
one
it?
Could care. And
right,
it was like dead silence.
Right. And is your act clean?
Yeah, I did it clean. Mm-hmm. But it was still just like horrible.
Oh, yeah.
It's the middle of the day. Half the people can't speak English. The other half are recovering from drug addiction.
Oh, yeah.
And are like just out on a, you know, through rehab to get to sit out there during the day.
Because a lot of people, I don't know if people realize, like a lot of times the audience is a paid audience. So there are people who are paid, I don't know what they make, $8 or $10 an hour to come and sit in the audience. And
when you need the money.
Yeah, when you need the money, that's fine.
You're young.
However, they used to like paid cash at the end of the day, and that kind of led to a lot of like swarthy characters. Get my cash, head to my meth dealer type people.
Really?
Yes.
And you saw that? That kind of thing.
I don't know if that blatant, I haven't actually seen that, but I knew people who were just kind of goofy. And now they've cleaned it up a little bit. Now they need a check and a social security number and all that stuff. And it's a little higher class of folk. And you know what? Usually they're pretty good people.
Let's talk about your improv background, because I find that really interesting as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you came from Chicago. How old were you when you came out here?
I was late. I came out here when I was 37.
Okay.
36, and 37.
So you were doing a lot. Your home base was Chicago.
Correct.
That's really where you got your comedy start.
Yeah, absolutely.
And where were you training primarily over the early 20s and 30s?
IO and The Annoyance, especially. I was a member of The Annoyance, and I was a member of all, I was on a house team at IO called Sexy.
Okay, so let's slow down real quick, because I want there to be some real clarity here, because I even need it.
You want me to keep it clear?
And I think I know a lot about like improv stuff, but even I get, not to say I'm the quintessential expert here, but for those of you listening who have no idea about improv, like
I feel like I'm really hot on this mic. Am I really on top of
no,
it?
No, you're
this,
great.
Is this you're, good?
It's okay. Perfect. It's perfect. That's how you want to be. So,
all right.
Okay, you've got in Chicago, you've got Second City.
Right.
They are like where a lot of famous actors came from for Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
In the 70s and on.
Yes.
Then you've got, and that's Second City. Now, you say you've taken classes.
I just studied there, and I was in their children's theater. And
okay, what does that mean? You studied there.
Theater.
You took classes.
Yeah, they have classes.
Did you go all the way to the main stage?
I did. No, the main stage as an actor.
Yes.
No, I did not.
Okay, because I know that Second City has a process where you take a class, a level,
right.
And you take another level, and then
and you took a class as well.
I did.
Correct?
Yeah, so I know that's why I'm familiar with this. And then you audition, and then if you get moved on, you go to the next level, and eventually you keep going through this process where you can become a Second City main stage actor and where you're writing
Correct.
Your sketches. And now where did you go in that process?
So I just graduated from the program and then they had a children's theater and I did something with a children's
Hold on.
Theater.
Wait, you went all the way up to the point where you would have to audition to be on the main stage?
No, I auditioned to be in their tour co and did not get in.
So you made it through all the levels that you could possibly take?
Yes. Correct.
And then you were at that point where it was time to audition. Did you audition for the main stage?
No, just tour company. They have tour companies. That's what they put
Is
you
that
on
what
first.
Leads to eventually main stage?
Correct. So you go to tour co and that your tour company, and then you would go to what do you call it? They have like side stages like the Sex and ETC. At the time, they had Sex and Northwest, and I was on none of that. So I didn't get that far.
You didn't get that far. So.
No.
So you went
but
through.
But they did have a business theater, and I did some stuff at their business theater.
How many years did it take to go through all the training in Second City that took you to the point where you were auditioning to be on the touring company?
Not too long, like a year and a half, 2 years.
You went through all those levels. Do you never have to repeat a level? Because often they make the student repeat a level.
I did repeat one level. There's a part where they make you audition to go on, and I did not get get it.
Early on, like after level 2?
Yeah, something like that. I can't remember. I think, yeah.
So there's only one time where they do that?
Yes.
But don't they hold some people back?
Yes, and I got held back.
But can't that happen at a later level, though, too?
And also, I was with my, I think my wife got through.
There are 5 levels, right?
Yes.
Or there were then.
And I think you go from level 1 to 2, you have to audition. And I was level 1. Or 2 to 3, something like that.
Right.
And I was level 1 with my wife. She got through. I did not.
Now, what made you continue? Why didn't you just quit?
I totally wanted to burn the place to the ground, but, you know, I got
Were
myself
you pissed?
Together. Yeah, I was totally pissed. And I got myself together and went and talked to this one teacher named Martin DeMont, who's a pretty famous teacher. He's passed away since then. And he's like, you're fine. And he's like, come to my class. I don't think he even charged me. And then, you know, audition again. And I did and got in.
And do you think they made the right choice looking back? Like to hold you back? Did you need to learn a little more?
I don't know. I had a horrible audition. It was horrendous. I didn't take charge and, you know, do what you need to do to show up.
You didn't take what?
Charge. You know, take charge in the scene and
right.
I was getting led around by somebody who's not as skilled as you. And you
Did know. They get moved on?
And you know what? I think I might have done something like, I think I might have made it gay or something like that.
I made a what?
I think I might have made the scene gay. Like, oh my, all of a sudden I have a crush on the male guy that I'm auditioning with. And
is that a no-no?
No, it's not necessarily a no-no. It's just kind of
an easy way out.
A bad choice for an audition. It was just, yeah, it's like an easy, crappy way out. And it's like, come on, you know better than that.
Right. So were you nervous?
It might be more interesting. Yeah, it's been a long time ago. I'm sure I was.
Yeah.
And then... You know, and then I auditioned again, and I got through.
So you go through the 5 levels, and that's fantastic. That's impressive.
Yeah, it's fantastic, all right.
It is. It's not easy.
So how many levels did you do?
We'll get to that later.
Why is every question? We got
this
a lot
called,
to catch. Are you writing this down?
Question.
Because I have a lot of stuff that we're getting to later.
Hold on.
All
we'll
right.
get to me in
all
a
right.
little bit. Actually, I've addressed everything that we put an opinion. I swear.
All right. But
when you went on to another theater.
Right. So, you know, when I was at Sex Ed training there, I hadn't quite got it yet. And then I went to the Annoyance Theater.
This is even after 5 levels. You still hadn't gotten it.
I was all right, but it wasn't very good. And then I went to the Annoyance and started taking classes there and then became a member of that theater. And they have people there who are just brilliant.
Now, the Annoyance Theater, is that an offshoot of Second City, or is it the same people?
No, it's different people, but like everybody, it's kind of a incestuous community. Everybody plays in different, you know, the different theaters.
So, like, are there levels, and you can't get on stage like Second City until you've taken a certain number of classes?
They have levels, but they throw you up there with each class, and then at the end you like put on some sort of show, and then they'll throw you into a show, a small part, and then they'll throw you in a bigger part, a different show.
Now, what makes Annoyance?
And I was in their long running show called Coed Prison Sluts. I was Dr. Bellows, the prison doctor, and
but is it scripted at Annoyance?
They do improv too, script, so they'll have like a script. And are you going to call?
I am, and I'm like, it's like you would think the house is on fire the way this phone's going off.
Oh, it's not someone who's calling in for the show, but a personal call?
It's a personal call. And it wouldn't stop. I hope it's an emergency. That's the first time I've hoped it's an emergency.
What if it is an emergency? It's do you not want to answer?
You know what? Okay, my life is so uncomplicated right now that if there's an emergency, they're always better off calling 911. I mean, there is no one.
Voicemail says, like when you call the doctor's office? If this is an emergency, call 911.
Right.
Otherwise, leave a message for Vic Cohen.
No, I mean, like, if it's God forbid my parents, and they're in Chicago, it will all work out.
Right. If it's really important, they'll text you so you can visually see it.
I sound really cold-hearted. I'm not. I'm just saying it's not like I'm married.
A little cold-hearted.
No, I'm not in a serious relationship with a woman who's like, you know, like needs to get a hold. Like if, you know, or I have a child that maybe need to get a hold of me.
Yes.
Anyways, so like Annoyance, this is what I never really understood.
That was the worst segue ever.
Because I don't want to talk about my phone.
All right.
Okay, so with Second City was one thing. Annoyance is another type of theater.
Yeah, Annoyance where I really like came into my own, you know.
But what is the Annoyance? I don't get that. Like
the Annoyance, it's an alternative theater company in Chicago. It's been there, I guess, since like probably your late 80s. And it's just an alternative improv theater, and they also do a lot of sketch comedy. They have a lot of long-running shows. Some bigger shows that come out of the Annoyance, the Real Life Brady Bunch.
I remember that. But do you do, like, is it all scripted, everything over there?
No, there's improv shows, and there's also shows they've improv two scripts, but they're literally, is there a script that exists? No. Do you like when you go into be a replacement of a show that's been going on, you come and watch the show for a while, they'll have like plot points that they want to get to, but you can play around and just screw around on stage. And so you want to throw a line out there. You're with all these talented people who can handle that. And, you know, you do that to a scripted actor, you know, regular stage actor, and that'll throw them.
Right.
They're like, what am I supposed to do?
So the Annoyance Theater is a theater company where you don't necessarily have to take classes to get on stage.
You mostly do. Yeah, actually, you mostly do. And so, you know, just to get in the theater company, that's how you kind of work.
You did have
to
take some classes.
I did.
I'm stuck on this. Okay, so
you're really into classes.
Well, I'm just curious.
Very interested about the education.
Second City is seriously like, I mean, Chicago's really known for its improv. It's really like of all the cities in the country. I mean, it's really known as maybe the center of a lot of this. So, you know, and you hear a lot about the Annoyance Theater. Now, where were Tina Fey and Amy Poehler during this?
Tina was in my Second City class.
Which class, like from the beginning on or just one class?
Whenever I failed the audition, like I put in a new class and then for the next four classes, something like that.
So Tina Fey, like the Tina Fey from 30 Rock and Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
So she was like in her 20s with you?
Yeah, as so was I.
And you think, oh my God, this woman's going to be maybe the biggest, wealthiest, most famous woman in America when it comes to comedy.
I didn't think that, but I thought, you know, she's very talented. She was really good.
What made her good?
But I mean, I did a lot of good people.
Made her good?
She's a talented improviser.
What does that mean?
I don't know how to put any better than that.
She could think fast on her feet. She was great at doing character work.
How about, she was funny.
Right, but I mean like, funny can mean a lot of things. Was she a great writer? She was a character person. She put on wigs and played different types of roles like that.
I kind of think all of it. You know, I mean, you know, she was a good improv actress, I don't know how to answer any better than that.
Okay,
so, yes.
I'm not accepting that.
that's not a fair question.
What about Amy Poehler?
Same thing. You know, Amy was always really funny. Mm-hmm. You know, and yeah.
Were they buddies?
Yeah, totally.
And did Amy and did you think of them as somehow ever like teaming up together or having any connection in the professional world?
Sure, they would do shows together, and I think they were on what were they on? Their team was Inside Vladimir. They're on a team together, and so.
And what is a team?
It's an improv team. So especially at I.O., you get formed into an improv team.
What's I.O.?
It's Improv Olympic.
And that's another theater in Chicago.
Yes.
So you could be doing three different theater work at three different theaters at the same time.
Yes. And no wait. How long were you in Chicago?
I wasn't in Chicago very long. I never lived in Chicago.
So you went to Northwestern for graduate school or undergrad?
I went to Medill for the journalism school for graduate journalism school.
Okay.
Journalism.
And were you performing then?
I'm really speaking well suddenly for having gone to a really good
journalism
school. Yeah. Pardon me.
Were you performing during grad school?
No, I television reported in Macon, Georgia after graduating from Northwestern's Medill School of Journalism.
You were a television reporter?
I covered everything. And I was the movie reviewer. I was Vic's Picks. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I was like the Ebert.
Was there anything that you panned that everybody else loved and you
were
wrong
on? I did get
one
call in the newsroom and I wish I remembered I was just thrilled anyone was listening.
Right.
I couldn't believe anyone.
What year is this?
This was just about 5 years ago.
No.
I'm not telling. That is not a fair question.
All right.
And then I moved back to Chicago, but it was for a short, very short period. I mean, I was in Chicago maybe a year, and I was living in the suburbs.
How did you like being in Georgia?
I love Georgia. It's fascinating. It's a fascinating place, especially growing up in Chicago.
I just went down to Birmingham, Alabama for Simca. What is it called? B'nai Mitzvah. Twins, boy and a girl.
Okay.
So
B'nai Mitzvah is like your girls having their bas mitzvah? Like
bat mitzvah and a bar mitzvah.
Oh.
They're twins, so it's called a B'nai Mitzvah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes. So how about that?
Thank you, Mr. Kaplan.
But it's in Birmingham, Alabama, which has a surprising large amount of Jews.
And that is surprising.
It's a beautiful temple that was built in like 1908 or something like that. And I was just amazed, how Birmingham has like this whole hipster community, which I thought was kind of cool. And, you know, Southern hospitality is real. Like, people are nicer. They're just nicer.
I loved living in the South. Now, let's get back to you and your...
I'm not going to let you just keep going. I'll keep interrupting. I hope you don't mind.
No, that's okay.
All right.
Well, I'll wrestle it away from you.
All right.
I did lose my train of thought. You got me good there.
I got to say, like, in my improv roots, my comedy roots, what I really came in when I really started flourishing was at The Annoyance, where they're just like, do whatever you want. There are rules in improv. And I remember the very first day I went in and I studied with Mick Napier there, who's, you know, in charge of the theater and pretty legendary comedy guy. And the first day, he's like, do whatever you want. There are no rules. He's like, first thing, he's like, name a bunch of rules.
Well, there is
rules.
Yes and. A yes and is a rule, right?
Yes and no, but you know what he's saying. You know him now, forget him, and just go out there and screw around. Can I cuss? I can't cuss.
You can do whatever you want.
Okay, gotcha. go out there and fuck around. He's like, you want to do blue, you know, which is like a rule, you know, that you shouldn't say. He's like, you know.
So he was freeing.
Absolutely. And that's when it got to be fun. And that's when I came into my own. It just got to be a blast.
You just trusted more.
Yeah. And you know, you also have really strong players there. And so like when I go out there and you know, you lay something on somebody and or whatever you may do, you know, they're going to throw it back at you just as hard. And it doesn't matter what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So like a lot of people have there'll be like rules, like don't do a lay on to someone. So if I look at you and be like, well, hello, Captain Ahab, now you have to play a captain. And some people get upset about that, but who cares? You know, you go to The Annoyance, like, I don't care. Put a lay on me. I don't care. You know, if you want to, you know, you want to.
And why would that be a bad thing?
Because you're choosing someone's character for them.
Okay.
You know, and
what about saying like, wow, that's a nice horn in your head?
There you go.
Would that be a lay on too?
Sure.
Because you're...
Yeah, and you just play with it. So you got to deal with it. And a good improviser can handle that. You know, but when you first start out, there are rules that can help you guide you along. Even yes and. Yes and, of course, you'll advance the scene or whatever. But then, you know, some people say never say no. But you want to get to be strong enough, you can say no and still move the scene along.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a big thing, like, take care of your partner. And I just remember we did, like, there's a whole philosophy on that. It's like, take care of yourself first. Make a declaration of what you are. When you're doing improv, if I come off the back line and I do a strong character, and whatever it may be, it could be something as simple as a limp or a lisp or something big, like a big accent or something like that, or something physicality. And if I stick with that, that's my character. And the other person can do their character. And it will eventually come together to something interesting. And if as long as you stick with your initiation, you stick with your character, something interesting will happen. And to illustrate that, what happened one time is I got two guys on stage. I was one of them. And they're like, okay, sit, both of you sit in chairs. All right. And you do a scene where you can't talk to each other. And you got to close your eyes. And so we're both sitting in these chairs. We're not doing anything. And he's like, our teacher at the time was McNavery, this guy I told you about. And we started getting laughs. He's like, when I say, look at each other, I want you guys to look at each other. Keep your eyes closed. And when we did, huge laugh. And he's like, that's it. You understand? There's two people on stage. That's all the relationship you need. You don't need anything else than that. And am I making sense? Like, he's like, that is interesting. You guys are literally not talking to each other. You can't see each other. And you're sitting. And that's enough relationship to make this whole
audience
laugh.
So what becomes the point of that? That makes me think that you could do anything.
That's right.
But that's not really true either.
Sure it is. Absolutely it is. You can do anything. And once
you're
on
stage,
you
do
anything.
Then why do some scenes not work if you can do everything?
Oh, it doesn't mean it'll be good. It's improv. Improv could totally suck, you know?
It could be painful when it's not working.
It could be absolutely painful.
Have you ever wanted to crawl off the stage because you just know it's not working?
Oh, yeah. But that's the beauty of good improv is hopefully you have enough control where you can either, someone's on there where they can go to blackout, or you can just be like, all right, we're done. Walk off.
Blackout meaning and scene.
And scene. Done.
And someone literally hits the lights.
Correct.
That's how you know a scene. The audience knows a scene is over.
Correct. Or if you're doing like a herald or a group long form and there's people in the back.
What's
wall.
A herald?
A herald is like a version of long form improv. So you have a group of like 8 or 9 people and you just keep going for half hour or so.
It's a long improv.
Yeah,
scene.
And so it's different improv scenes and
people play more than one character?
Mm-hmm. People play more than one character, more than one scene, and you can edit each other. So if I see a bad scene, I can come out there and just start doing another scene and that scene will go away and maybe it'll come back, maybe it won't. If it's horrible, it won't. Mm-hmm. Hopefully. And that's fun. That is fun.
One thing that I also find really interesting is that one may be a great improviser, but not be a great stand-up.
Correct.
Or someone may be a great stand-up.
Stand-ups usually make bad improvisers.
Because when you're doing stand-up, usually you have forever to work on your act. I mean, it's not like you're really in the moment.
Right.
A great stand-up is in the moment or can pretend as if they're in the moment.
Right. Yes.
You know, you don't feel like they're just doing an act by rote.
Correct. I think it goes vice versa. I think improvs can make decent stand-ups, but I think stand-ups don't necessarily go to improv as well. Although, you know, there's definitely crossover, but it's
there's so many different forms of comedy that the idea that someone's great at everything, you don't have to be great at everything.
Correct.
To be a great comedic personality.
Correct. Right. You know, there's some guys who are great improvisers, not that good at writers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
better performers than writers, whatever.
So you came out here at 37.
I did.
Now, do you ever look back and go, that was a good choice, a bad choice, or you don't really think like that?
I don't know. It's just like anybody else who has a career, performance career of ups and downs. Sometimes they're like, why am I here? Why am I in this stupid city? And then other times, like, I love it.
I looked at your reel and you're really good. I mean, you know, like I saw that Evening Edition clip. I mean, it's a while ago.
Early Edition.
No, I saw Evening Edition. I'm kidding.
You were watching it at night.
I was watching your Early Edition clip.
Right.
By the way,
I was fireman. I was urban search and rescue officer number 2.
It was very good. You can see Joe's reel, his acting reel, and some of his comedy at joekaplan.me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was looking at your reel and the one thing that struck me is you're really good. And did something stop? Did you stop auditioning or what happened or changed or did nothing change? And
no, that's nothing just changed. I still do stuff. I just haven't necessarily updated my reel.
Okay, so it's not that you haven't been doing other work. It's more like you just said. It was
just auditioning and getting my friends' shorts and stuff like that. Short movies. I can see in your eyes you're going to jump on that one. And so
I wondered how you got these jobs. So it's not.
I do what I got to do.
So it's not.
I do what I got to do.
So it's not. So are you happy with life? I mean, are you happy?
I'm totally happy with life. How about you? Are you happy?
Well, let's stick with you for a minute because this isn't about me right now.
We're running out of time. We have a lot of pins.
Your early days, again, some of the people you worked with, who are some other people we may know? And what were your impressions of them back then?
Oh, I don't know. Seriously, nah, let's get it better. Let's go move on from that. That's, please. That's boring.
No, it's not. Let me. Do I need to go to Cheyenne and ask?
I don't know. I mean, how much bigger do you want? I mean, Tina and Amy are pretty big, you know?
That's true.
And so, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, is there any envy when you see certain people in that group moving
not really.
On?
There's not envy. Would I like to have my career be as big as them? Sure. Who wouldn't? But it's not envy. I mean, they're really nice girls, and they've gone on to do great things. So good for them.
Do you ever think of calling? Did you ever call her during 30
It's been a while.
It would feel weird.
Yeah, it'd be really weird. She'd be like, who? I'm like, Joe Capp, remember a long time ago?
How do you deal with the stress of show business?
No, I don't know. Seriously, I don't know. You know, so it's just a...
I find it, you know, I mean, it's very challenging at times. There's a lot of unpredictability.
I'm going to move my mic.
So
there
we go. How do you...
So what do you do? I mean, seriously, like...
Wife therapy.
Totally.
I have a really good therapist.
You know, I got a great family. I got a really supportive wife, great kids. You know, sometimes, yes, do you, but other times, you know, it's just like anybody else. It's ups and downs, and you try to have more ups and downs. And so,
yeah,
I'm loving it. I'm loving life right now.
Are you?
Oh yeah, I'm really happy.
Oh, that's great.
Well, oh yeah. Do I sound happy?
What are you so happy about? Because you're happy. What with your career, your life, marriage, kids, the whole
life and marriage. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, we have a good time. My kids crack me up. They're hysterical, you know. Mm-hmm. And, especially my 11-year-old. She's bitterly sarcastic, and I absolutely love that.
Zoe?
Lily. Lily's 11-year-old. And so they're both great, but I'm just saying she's got this wicked sense of humor that could knock you out.
What do you see, like, the future for yourself? Like, do you have a plan?
No, I don't have any plan. Just auditioning, keep working, looking to, just work like everybody else out here.
You still take classes?
I don't. I used to be in an acting class, but you had to be kind of repetitive, so I stopped. I should probably find a new one, actually.
Huh?
I should probably find a new one.
Yeah, is there, like, do you have a dream job for you, or what would that be?
A dream job. Being on a sitcom would be fun.
Like, either being a regular character or having your own?
Being a regular character or being... a regular on a sitcom or, writing for a sitcom or writing for late night. I would like to do any of that.
Have you ever thought about going back to Chicago?
Sometimes, but not just like I said, like when you're in the fits of depression or something.
Because of the career, just like crazy making at times.
Yeah. But I'm like I said, I feel like you're getting at trying to get at something like the dark side of me, but I'm telling you, there really isn't one.
Just trying to get to know all of you. If you call it the dark side, I find that interesting. I don't know if I characterize it as a dark side, but since you mention it in that, put in that context.
No, it's not a whole lot of dark, I don't think.
Yeah. Okay, I was just wondering.
Well, now
a lot of people love Chicago. They talk about going back.
I do love Chicago. Do you miss it?
I love my family. My parents, brothers.
I miss fall.
I don't miss being cold.
I kind of like cold.
Well, you
fun.
Do because you're a warm-up guy.
See, there you go. That's
circle.
What it is. It is full circle.
It is.
Know, plus sweater weather. How nice. Snow is fun. Leaves changing color. You don't get that out here at all.
What do you... we're almost out of time,
mm-hmm.
sadly to say.
Mm-hmm.
And...
So you stick to an hour? Is that what it is, an hour?
Yeah.
So we have an hour 35, 34, 33?
Something
interesting.
Like that.
Okay.
If people want to get a hold of you or how would they find you? Or
go to my website, joekaplan.me.
Okay.
Anything, you can see my stuff there.
You do Twitter?
Get a hold of me. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I don't know what my Twitter handle is.
Okay.
I think it's Joe M. Kaplan.
Joe M?
Yeah. Michael, my middle name.
Okay. Joseph Michael Kaplan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. So what's up? Do you have anything lined up at the moment?
No, I don't have my next gig.
Yeah.
I need one. So if anyone's out there hiring.
JoeKaplan.me.
JoeKaplan.me.
But the thing about that is that's typical.
Sure. That's every actor's dilemma. You finish a gig and now you got to get another one.
Right. Do you think of yourself more as an actor than, let's say, a writer?
Or a
comic?
Probably an actor more than a comic and a writer. Do a lot of writing.
Yeah. In your other stuff, if we wanted to see anything you've written, is that also, that's on
your
reel?
Yeah, it's all in there. Okay. Absolutely.
Great. So, well, I want to thank you.
I think this has been a hoot. Vic.
It's been great having you because, you know, I've learned a lot and about things I didn't know about you.
Right.
You
know? See, now I have to come back because there are pins all over the studio
there
that I have
few,
to get to.
But not many. Not many. Thanks for coming here the night before Thanksgiving.
You know, there's going to be riots.
There might be.
Literally driving here, with the Ferguson thing that just happened, there's lines of police outside the studio. Literally.
No, they were shutting down a 7-Eleven down the street because of...
They closed a 7-Eleven because they're scared of the riots that haven't happened.
Right. That haven't happened.
And we're all in the middle of it. It's like a ghost town here.
You'll protect me. All right?
I'm very tough.
Thank you guys all for listening. And I want to thank you again, Joe Kaplan. And I want to thank you, Cheyenne. This is our first time working together. Excellent work. And thank you all for listening. You can find old episodes of our show here and iTunes, Vic Cohen's It's a Fair Question. And thanks again. Hope to see you soon. Bye-bye. I'm Vic Cohen, and it's a fair question. It's a fair question. It's a fair question. I'm Vic Cohen, and it's a fair question. It's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair question. I'm Vic Cohen, and it's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair question.